Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, there's a new comedy site slash service called CISO. It's a subscription-based network that is bringing new comedies to the internet and also dusting off some of the best sketch comedy and improv ever produced. The full libraries of Kids in the Hall and Monty Python, for example. Plus new shows from the Upright Citizens Brigade. The UCB show is a variety show featuring all the great work done by the comedians in that family. UCB has become the place to do comedy in both New York and Los Angeles. So many great comedians who are entertaining us today in the mainstream cut their teeth on these stages. And, of course, UCB started right here in Chicago. The founders, Amy Poehler, Matt Walsh, Ian Roberts, and Matt Besser, just celebrated 25 years. Matt Besser joins me tonight to talk about the new show on CISO and, of course, UCB's time in Chicago. Matt, thanks for being here.
Hey, it's great to be back in Chicago, if it's only my voice.
My voice is cold. Exactly. Let me ask you about CISO, about the UCB show. How'd you get involved in this?
Well, we've been wanting to have a variety show that had our best stuff from both New York and L.A. In some way for people outside those cities to see it. And we were in the midst of pitching it to NBC as a late-night show, perhaps, even after SNL. And then the CISO is part of the NBC Universal umbrella, and they heard about our pitch, and they pitched us on how they were going to appeal to the comedy nerds out there. And like you mentioned, things like the Kids in the Hall library, Monty Python, which is what I grew up on and emulated, and even this so much good, weird British stuff that's so hard to get, even on the internet. And they're like, we'll have those libraries exclusively, and we're making new content. It seemed kind of perfect for what we do in our theaters.
You know, you're so right. There's so many different comedians doing great shows every night at the UCB, both in New York and L.A. And a lot of people, they never see it. And I mean, it's some of the most groundbreaking stuff.
It's easy for stand-ups to get on national TV with talk shows, but you so rarely see, unless you get on SNL, unless you get on one of the few sketch shows out there, maybe on Comedy Central, like where are sketch comedians getting the show off outside the theater stage? It's barely anywhere. So that's always been frustrating for sketch people.
Now, you've been involved. I mean, you guys had your own show on Comedy Central in the late 90s, and then you've had a couple of different runs with some improv, taping improv for ASCAD. I remember sitting around a TV set watching a couple of those pilots. Talk about how UCB is translating to television, you know, because it's not just what's on stage, but you guys have tried to make that move into television.
Well, we've always thought that improv could work on television, like even though it is one of those great live things to see, but everything is better live, really. But still, that doesn't mean it can't work on television. We've always thought that. So yeah, that's always just been a constant goal. And now that there are so many platforms for comedy to be seen on, and it's not just network TV anymore, and people watch stuff on their phone while they're sitting on a bench. So, you know, you can just watch things anywhere. Why not be on a platform like this that's going to give you more room to explore and be uncensored?
So let's talk about your time in Chicago, because the Upright Citizens Brigade you guys made your name in New York and Chelsea. It was, just blew up late 90s, early 2000s, obviously on the strength of that Comedy Central show. But before that, you guys met in Chicago. You actually came here doing stand-up.
I did. I didn't even know what improv was, for one. And I knew about Second City from seeing SCTV, and I was a sketch fan. But yeah, I moved to Chicago in 1990, which was right in the middle of the stand-up boom, and there were easily, you know, around 8 stand-up clubs just in Chicago, not even counting the suburbs. It was a crazy time, and lots of stand-up going on. But then once I got here, I saw a lot of, what's the word for it, underground sketch stuff that was going on in small theaters and bars and basements and cafes, and that appealed more to my sense of humor than the stand-up, and especially the mainstream stand-up club. So I really got more into that once I got to Chicago, and particularly improv. And had always been a fan, in particular of Kids in the Hall, that we were talking about earlier, that I always wanted to be in a group like that that got their own TV show. That was kind of my dream. And I soon realized that, wow, I came to the perfect city. I didn't come for the right reason, but this would is the perfect city to start out doing that.
We just had Mick Napier on talking about the old days of the Annoyance Theater and that area, Belmont and Clark. I know you did a lot of work at Café Voltaire and those spaces. What was it like being an alternative performer? Take us back to 1990. What was that area like? What was great about that Chicago scene?
It was so easy to put up a show, and I didn't maybe even realize that until we did move to New York, where it was such a hassle. It was expensive, and it wasn't a friendly experience, whereas it was just the opposite in Chicago. And it was a funny relationship with the scene, because we happened to get kicked. I bet we got kicked out of at least half the venues we did our sketch show for just behaving irresponsibly. Or immaturely.
Like how? I mean, what was like setting this?
Well, you mentioned Café Voltaire. Yeah. We started out there. We did probably our first three. We started out doing bits at this place called the Roxy, but which had a great alternative scene itself of stand up and sketch. But our first full sketch show was in the basement of Café Voltaire. And one night we changed the show every weekend, and one night the theme of the show was being in a volcano, and we were having some kind of ritual, and we started passing out punch with grain alcohol in it. And when the owner was like, "You can't pass out grain alcohol to my patrons," and then he looks in the crisper and see we're in the lettuce crisper, we're storing our Budweisers. He's like, "All right, you guys are done. Get out of here."
Well, you know, UCB, as we know it now, I mean, the four of you have really crystallized around the brand. But it was a lot. There was a lot of different names and people that came through the door when you guys were founding the Upright Citizens Brigade. Adam McKay, Horatio Sands, others involved. You know, when did you realize that this was something that, you know, the Upright Citizens Brigade was something that was more than just, you know, hiding Budweiser's in the crisper at Café Voltaire?
Like I said, it was my dream. So really not till we moved to New York, and to be, I guess, vain, we just felt like we were a lot better than what was in New York when we got there. Whereas maybe when we were in Chicago, we didn't feel that as much. We almost had to leave Chicago to feel like, oh, wow, it did pay off to go and grow somewhere else before we went and tried to actually sell ourselves in a legitimate way to television.
You know, with all the different members that were ebbing and flowing through the group, when was it you said these are the four, you know, Ian, Matt Walsh, Amy Poehler? When did you guys
realize? Wasn't about really going, now we have the time to go. It was like, you know, McKay was on board from the very beginning, but then he got into the Second City main stage, and that took him to SNL very quickly, and Horatio made the choice to go a Second City. So it wasn't like it was more like who was there when we finally went. And because all those people, if they had chosen, could have gone with us.
But right.
That's the four that was willing to go to New York and try to showcase and make it there.
In the mid-90s, when you guys made that decision, was it a tough decision for the four of you to uproot and move, or was everyone just, you know, unanimous, like, let's do it, let's move, let's all go to New York City?
I think I might have been the most ready, but like, Walsh is from Chicago, so he's not only leaving, you know, his comedy hometown, it's literally his hometown, and I don't know, and then Ian's moving his wife there, and Amy, in a way, had almost just gotten there in a way, because we were there a little longer than she was. So I don't know. But you see, it was a different time back then, even more, in that you really had to go to L.A. or New York to legitimately sell a show like that. It was few and far between the times that we had a talent agent, if you will, mm-hmm. in the crowd who could pull a trigger and make a show happen. We really did, and there's not the internet and YouTube videos being passed around. There was no way to really know a group unless they really hung out in a city for an extended period of time. You couldn't even just go there and do a showcase. That's not enough. You really got to go there and make a name for yourself.
you know, as you said, you know, getting to New York, it was more of a hassle than putting up a show in Chicago. You guys stood right into that great little space in Chelsea, did ASCAT, gave away, you know, did free shows on Sunday nights. I mean, you made a scene. I mean, people were knocking down your door to join, to be a part of the classes. I mean, when you think back about it, what was it about Chicago that made you successful in New York?
Well, I would say Del Close. If I was going to pinpoint one thing, and the Chicago scene in general, besides what I've ever already said, it was just a very supportive environment. In regards to the specific thing I do, improv, I just think we were all there at a magical time to have this genius teaching us this thing that he didn't invent by himself, but I believe he perfected in a way to really make it the performable art form for an audience that he always said it could be. And I think it just gets better and better, but I think it really gelled right in that time period. And he taught us something that we still use. In fact, we just have been making a documentary for a few years now called Thank You, Del Close, where we just try to make that very clear that sure, we're all a bunch of funny people, but this guy really did give us a tool that we've used. I may sound like I'm in a crazy cult, but it's great to get an education in any way and walk away from a class and go, wow, I really did learn something that can make me convey my comedy better.
You know, for you guys, you really did become the New York style of improv. I mean, improv in New York was had a couple clubs, but it wasn't until you got there that improv really was embraced in that city. So many different people have gone through your doors, and now obviously in Los Angeles. And I got to ask the question, I mean, do you consider yourself Chicago's UCB, or are you New York's UCB?
I'm Chicago's UCB if they'll have us. And I live in L.A., so what am I going to say? I don't know if I need to attach myself to a city, but I do believe and know we formed and found our voice in Chicago without questions. We did so much crazy stuff we wouldn't have been able to get away with. We were taking audiences out into the streets of Chicago and running down alleys and pretending to rob people and getting hit by cars and all this kind of stuff that we just never would have been able to pull off in those slightly bigger cities that just don't tolerate that kind of nonsense. We literally had Horatio Sanz arrested in the middle of a scene we once did where we walked into the middle of North Avenue and stopped traffic, and he got pulled away in the middle of the whole sketch. In the crowd, it happened so quickly the crowd thought we'd somehow gotten a cop to be part of the scene.
And the best part about that, and I've heard this story from Horatio, we interviewed him, he talked about it, Adam McKay talked about it. Best part about this, he committed to the bit. Like, he continued, like, as he was being put into the car, screaming or what he was doing.
Yeah, he was shouting Public Enemy lyrics, for sure.
And then he said that they just let him sit in the car over at the Hollywood Diner. Well, then they let him go after the fact. But that's the kind of stuff that's, you know, that's lore in Chicago, and it's unbelievable to think of a show. You're right. I mean, there's not many shows today that are going to do things like that, and you guys were doing it on a regular basis. Matt Besser, one of the founding members of the Upright Citizens Brigade, along with Matt Walsh, Ian Roberts, Amy Poehler, here in Chicago, came here in 1990, left for New York in the late 90s, had the great Comedy Central show, and now you can hear or watch the new show, the UCB show, which is on CESO, CESO.com. Matt, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us tonight.
Yeah, I should also say my comedy special, Besser Breaks the Record, is also on CESO.
That's a good, and the premise of that show, which is hilarious, is you are trying to break comedy records.
Many comedy records. The most subtle joke in the world, the longest setup. And actually, I read a lot of my letters to the editor from the Chicago Tribune, too, from the old days.
So that was an act you did back in the early 90s where you just read the letters to the editor?
Yeah, and get involved in the letters to the editor of my own fake letters.
This is great, man. Well, you know,
thanks for having me on the show.
We miss having Matt Besser in Chicago. We need more of that. All right, Matt. Thanks a lot, man.